this morning, the title that I have for my message is really the coolness of Christ. And I want you, I don't want you to look at how the message goes off or how when I talk and how I talk about God to think he's the Fonz or he's, James Dean. But it's a message where I want you to really recognize and see how cool Christ really was. In this journey that we're going to take this morning, as we walk through the chapters of, chapter of Mark, to see what he did from the boat to the other side to Jairus' house, where he raised Jairus' daughter from the dead, we are going to see just what we talked about this morning, the miracles and the fun and knowing who God really is and who Jesus really was. The beginning of the message, we know that how the story starts out is that Jesus takes off on a boat and he throws the disciples on the boat with him and are about to go to the other side. And we all know the story. A storm arises, and people, we heard messages on the storms, what the storm represents. I'm not talking about the storm this morning. I'm going to be always focusing on Jesus, because I believe greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So if we're talking about Jesus and the things that Jesus did, we should be able to do the same. But why ain't it happening today? What is taking us back from miracles at the altar? What is taking us back from healings in our lives? Why isn't God performing the acts that he performed 2,000 years ago? We don't need Jesus on the earth because Jesus is in this room.
Yes.
He left the Holy Spirit to comfort us and to teach us in the way that we should go and what we need to do to exemplify who Christ really is. So this morning, I'm going to be putting on the leather jacket once in a while. I'm going to be putting on some shades. So get ready to rock and roll, Mama. We're going to have a good time this morning. All right? No longer do I wear snakeskin boots. And by the way, the reason why I used to wear them just to let the devil know that no longer did he have hold of my life, but now that I was wearing it under my feet. And that's why I wore the snakeskin boots. Give God a hand. We mentioned my son this morning, Gary Jr., little Gary, Pastor Little Gary. He got ordained about 6 months ago to be the leadership over High Ground Ministries. And God has done a miracle. 3 years ago, his life was a total disaster. Him and my other son were dying in a bedroom in Long Island. And me and my wife left them there. We took all the furniture out of the house. We put it on the street. And we in ministry over here. And I walked into the room one day, and they were nodding out on heroin and drugs and just cigarettes were burning themselves. They had more holes in the sheets than you could have holes in anything else. And they were dying. And I walked into the room and I laughed. And my wife said, "Do you think it's funny that your kids are dying? You think it's a joke?" Whether I said, "I'm not laughing at them. I'm laughing at the devil that thinks he has them." Because I believe, I see Anthony in Bible College and I see Gary working in ministry someday. Those exact words I said coming out of the room 3 years ago. Well, quick testimony to say what happened. My son Anthony's an evangel Bible college, just finished his first year. 3 years later, my son Gary is now the director and runs the whole Higher Ground Ministries. That's what God can do when you step out and leave that greater team that he can do in the world. There's nothing that I can possibly do today in me to let you know that the Christ that dwells within me can do the same for you. For this church, for any church, any person in here. And you played wonderfully this morning. I heard the old songs. I grew up in the church with old songs. And inside of that, I stepped out of the church in old songs at the age of 17, tried to pull kids into church. And instead, I was in a youth group where our rangers and all that good stuff in the Assembly of God Church and ended up getting pulled out. And for 15 years of my life, man, I became a mainline cocaine addict, smoke crack, robbed a bank, went to prison. My life was just a disaster. At the age of 33 years old, I went into a program called Teen Challenge. And I met God all over again. And he said, "I've never left you. I've never forsaken you. And I'm so glad that you opened your arms back for me to come back and dwell within you." So this morning, this word I have is only a word that God could put together, because truthfully, I never finished high school. And if I don't want to say the wrong word, but I'm an idiot. I can't read too good. I can't write too good. But I know who I am as God can strengthen in me and what I am. Because I know God gave me a gift to give. I'm back in the world. I could sell a piece of bubblegum off the bottom of my shoe and tell you it still had flavor and you'd buy it. So God said, if you could do that for the world, then I believe you could do that for me. But this morning, I don't want to rest on my talents. I want to rest on the talents of the Holy Spirit. Amen? So let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you this morning for this word. Lord, I know, Lord, that people want to go home and watch the Super Bowl. I've definitely had them out of here before kickoff time. I got to pick up my food at 3 o'clock. So we got till 3. Normally, can't. So Lord, we thank you this morning for your love. We thank you, Father, for this church. I thank you, Father, for the love in this house that I feel towards you. Not towards Pastor Bob. Not towards anybody else but you. Lord, that's what makes your house so special, that we come in because this is your home. And you invite us in every week. And every week you share with us, you sit with us, and you tell us how much you love us through your spirit and through your presence. So this morning, with that, Lord, this morning, I would like to exemplify how cool you really are. And how cool you did the things you do as you walked on the face of this earth. So, Father, bless me this morning. Help us to come out the way you wanted to do, not the way I wanted to do. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Usually I have the words and the scriptures up on the board. So this morning I know we don't have that. And so I'm like Havana White. You know, so why I look like Havana White?
Sure.
Oh, let's go. Guys, pack it up. We're out of here. Why are you so sure? I gotta watch what I say around Pastor Bob, because I know he'll be coming up. He'll throw me right under the bus, so I gotta be careful this morning because of our personality. But I want to have fun in God's house this morning, and truthfully, we're gonna go to Mark 4, verse 35. And this morning, I want to establish faith and moving without fear. We know that we have to produce the fear of God. And we need to know that we need to fall at the feet of Jesus. And we need to know that somehow or another faith has to have that kind of thing. And in this journey, we're going to see 3 times individuals fall at the feet of Jesus, exemplify the fear of the Lord, and exemplify what knowing is that they have faith that God can deliver and set them free. So this morning, I want to just begin to move in Christ and speak about this word. Let me share real quick this one thing, because I'm not going to even get into scripture. Just go there. And I'm gonna reiterate on everything. I'm gonna talk about it. You go home and read the story later. But here we go. Jesus gets on a boat. He goes across on the other side. It says in his word that he picked up a cushion. I never really seen that. He took a cushion with him because he knew his father told him to go to the other side. It really didn't matter what was going to happen on the way there. It didn't matter if the storm came. It didn't come. It really didn't matter what was going on in his life. All Jesus knew was that his father told him to go. How many times in our lives we know God tells us to go and to do, and we begin to see everything that's happening around us instead of laying our head in the bosom of God. And really that pillow, to me, God showed me revelation of it, that pillow represents his father. That he knew that when he got on the boat and he rested his head on that cushion, that he knew he was comfy cozy with daddy. And he knew that my father is not going to let anything happen to me as I get to the other side. He knew without a shadow of a doubt that what storm or anything that was going to happen, that his father had him covered because his father told him to go. So we see in the story, storm arises. Boat's going over. Water's flowing in. The disciples come running downstairs. We're going to die. We're going to die. You know, how many of us have said we're going to die when the storm comes our way? You know, Jesus wakes up. Throws on his leather jacket. Right? He says, hold on, guys, I got this. He goes walking outside. The disciples are looking at him like, this guy's out of his mind. Jesus is over here saying, no, you are. Because I didn't call us to go to the other side for us to die. We have a mission. So right away, Jesus begins to show the disciples this journey. He's beginning to build something in these disciples because where they're heading at the end of this journey, I'm going to give you a quick backdrop, is Jairus' house where his daughter is dead or claims to be dead. So on this journey, Jesus has to establish something in his disciples that he needs to know that he has to build up their faith, know they have to grab a hold and rely on him, and know that they have to have fear of him in order so God can exemplify the power he needs to do. Because when he gets to the other side, just the 4 of them are going to be in the house with Jairus' daughter. And if there's any lack of faith or doubt or anything that they don't have in Christ, a miracle will not be performed. Jesus knows this. So he begins to build his disciples up on the boat. It's not about the storm. It's about Jairus' house. We need to know that in life, as we begin this journey in Christ, no matter where you go and where you're coming from, that at the end, it's not the storms, it's not the demons, and I'm going to go through all of this. It's not the things that are about to occur as Jesus is on his journey. It's the end result. Somebody was dead, and Jesus brought him to life. And on that journey, God had to build and establish something in his disciples that was much more bigger and much more powerful than the storm, than the demon, than a woman with issue of blood. And God establishes that in the disciples on his way. So, Jesus gets up. Bible says he looks at the storm and he goes, hey. And the storm, you like it, right? You're going to laugh. All right? And the disciples, otherwise known as Posse, Ralph, and Richie Cunningham, right, are sitting there saying, wow, Jesus is really cool. And this guy, even the wind listens to him. The Bible goes on to say in that scripture that they were terrified. They looked at him and they were terrified. Immediately, God produces fear of God. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It's not that they were scared of him, but they understood, oh my God, whatever this guy says or does, something happened. Just like, I'm going to bring back the Fonzie, and I'm not trying to, because I want to try to give you a revelation to see what I mean by that. Ralph Mount, Potsy, Richie Cunningham always feared the Fonz.
Yeah.
But he always loved them. He always had their back. He always protected them. He always kept them covered. You know, he'd walk into a room, stereo wasn't working, boom, he hit it. Same thing with Jesus. Jesus invented the word, here's mud in your eye. He's walking down the street, spits in his hands, picks up dirt, slams into somebody's eyes, and he gets healed. How much cool is that?
Yeah.
You know? Fonzie had nothing on Jesus, right? I mean, this guy is doing miracles that he's doing them in such different ways that people are exemplifying and recognizing who Christ really is. So story number one. You see in 41, it says that they were terrified and began to ask each other, who is this guy? Here they are traveling with God. Look, I only got three pages. So you're good. You know, it's handwritten, not typed. So more words, you know, less to go. I'm gonna just move in the spirit of this. But there's so much in my heart that's not on this paper. You're in trouble. So, where are we at? Another 3 hours to go. That's 10 minutes for the one story. Got three more to go. Hope Ralph Mouth don't get in the way. Okay, so here we go. Mark 5, 1 through 14. We're going to see over the next couple of verses that there is a significance in these miracles that we're talking about and take place. Here we go. We see Jesus get off the boat, and the first thing he does when he gets off the other side is this demon guy up in the tombs. Bad dude. Baddest dude in town. This guy is so bad that he's tearing chains. It says he tore chains. Didn't break chains. Tore them. What does that mean? He broke them in pieces. That's how demonic and how powerful this man is. Right? He's crazy out of his mind. But he knows Jesus has landed. Somehow or another, the demon recognizes God's here. Somehow or another, when Fonzie walked into Happy Days, he knew the Fonz is here. Something takes place in the demon's mind. He understands that this guy can help me. As much as the demons are in him and have him tortured, he knows if I can get to Jesus, if I can get to my Jesus, he can deliver me. He can set me free. There's something in Christ that begins to pursue out of him, and there's something in him that people see that they know he exemplifies the Father. Why? Because from the beginning of the trip, he laid his head in God. And I think us as a congregation, us in the church today, we need to stop looking at things and stop looking at the demon as a demon and understand that greater is he that is in you. And we need to understand that you can't put on a leather jacket to get rid of the demon. You can't put on a leather jacket to get rid of, to stop a storm. But I'll tell you what you could do. You can rest in the Christ that has died for you and has given his blood, that you have been blood bought and you have been saved and sanctified through this cross behind me, because no longer is he there, he is here.
Come on.
Yeah. Hallelujah. He's got a hand for you. The same demon that is coming at Christ comes at us daily. But if we're not exemplifying or recognizing who this Christ is that we claim, that we read, that we quote, and we don't begin to move in who he is in our lives, this is when God begins to minister and changes the things that are about to come upon us in our lives. So here we go. The devil comes. The demon man comes. First thing he does is he falls at the feet of Jesus. In every one of these miracles that I'm going to give you in this next two chapters before they get to Jairus' house, every individual says, first He fell at the feet of Jesus. The other thing he says, they feared. The demon feared Jesus. The disciples feared. Storm stopped. The demonized man feared. Fell at the feet of Jesus. He knew by faith that God can deliver him to 7th grade. How about this? I ran around the streets. This is my leather from the old days. I ran around the streets, did a lot of crazy things. As tough and bad as I was, even in prison, and the things that I had going on in my life, if that demon man came running out of his tombs with chains and busted him and knew how bad he was, I would have ran the other way. Somehow or another, Jesus knows, and it's 2,000. One man, 2,000 demons. One man, 2,000 demons come upon Jesus. And all he does, demons run. So us as Christians today, what are we doing when the devil attacks us? Because there's a coolness inside of us that the devil knows. But it's how we exemplify ourselves and move in Christ is where the deliverance comes from. So deliverance comes is that daily we need to fall at the feet of Jesus. We need to know that the Christ that died on the cross for us has more power than any living thing on this earth, has more power over every demon, has more power over every storm. But in the process, it's just that. There's a process.
Yes.
What is the process? It's that we get to fall at the feet of Jesus. It's that we believe. It's that we fear the Lord. Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Be wise. Get wisdom from your leaders. Have discipline in our lives. That's what a fool doesn't do. But God is asking us to do that. Because then and only then, when that demon comes, when a thing comes against you, you're going to be able to stand and hold up and be steadfast. Just like in my room, when I looked at the demon that was running around my kids' rooms, and I laughed at him. Not me, but the spirit within me somehow seen something outside what my wife seen. Didn't see the natural. Somehow or another, faith is my definition of faith. I'm not taking the words out of the Bible. Faith is the knowledge of knowing that God is in full control of every circumstance, good or bad. Has to be. Has to be. It has to be. Because he had to go to Job, he had to go to God to try to take out Job. But he had to ask permission first. He had to ask permission. Same thing with the demon. Can you please not cast me out of here? He asked permission from Jesus where to send him. He just didn't cast him out, let him wander. He said, please, can you send me here? Because he knew Jesus had the power to do whatever he wanted to do. Because those are the same demons that got cast out of heaven. That one doesn't change. He's the same demon. He recognized, this is the guy who cast us from the heavens. This is the guy that threw us into the lake of fire. This guy has more power than us. That's the same Christ that lives within you. Do you understand this morning? You have that power. Have somebody walk down this aisle and you can lay hands on them in the name of Jesus and claim victory in their lives and see them set free. I believe what's happening today in the Christian, even in my own life, I'm not just talking about the church, because I am the church. Sometimes, man, we forget to fall at the feet of Jesus. Man. Sometimes we think we got this. We got nothing. Sometimes we forget what faith really means. What does it mean? It means fearing God and falling at the feet of Jesus. We'll produce faith above everything else and God will move your lives. Amen?
Yes.
Amen.
Yes, it will.
Okay, so we go Mark 5, 21 through 24. I'm doing good. They get back on the boat. Another travel. They Get rid of that dude. He's out. Demon set free. Boom, boom, boom. Jesus is on a roll. He's rock and roll. He's hitting jukeboxes. He's hitting, putting lights on. Ralph Mouts and Posse is starting to say, oh, man, we were the right dude. You know, he got this thing, man. He ain't looking to hurt us. He's looking to help everybody. He's starting to recognize who Christ really is. These disciples, their faith is being built. Their strength in this man called Jesus and the character that they're seeing in Christ is no more than other than to be who he is. And I'm going to say it again, because the Bible says God is a personal God of a personal relationship. My God, my Jesus, is a cool dude. Yes. And I mean that disrespectfully. I want to give Jesus honor and honor his dude. Yes. But in my personal life, man, I'm in the car with him and we're hanging out. Oh my God, he's a funny guy. you know how I know that? Because I'm a funny guy. Yeah. Right there, right? Yeah. And he said he creates us in his image. He's talking about everything, not just our looks. He's like, he's created. Listen, you go into, when a baby gets born, you go into the hospital, and you see all the babies, you see some crying, some laughing, some are sad. Every one of them has a distinction in them already. I have two kids. Gary's meek, humble, and quiet. Anthony's a lunatic. He's a lunatic. He's everything opposite of, listen, both brought up by the same father and mother, both in the same household. But God has distinctly put something in each and every one of them that is genuine. Gary's meek, humble, Bible said, well, he'll inherit the land. Anthony's a lunatic, he'll inherit nothing. No, I'm only kidding. He'll inherit a fresh one, I'll tell you that. But out of all of that, it's just so true. Anthony was a lot of trouble. Gary was none. It's just incredible how God operates those things. So I believe in our lives, our sense of humor, our personality, God has distinctly have put that in us since we were born. Same thing with the gift of gab. You know, I have a gift of gab. On the street, I remember, if I was struggling and I needed, I mean, I can take a drug dealer and I can get anything out of them. There's just something about me, a way about me. Even in prison. I was in prison, and I'm not talking racial stuff here, but I'd be sitting at the table with all the black guys. And my boys would come over, the Italian people, and say, what's that? My mother brought me up in a cultural church. Matter of fact, we used to go to white church because they know how to rock. My mother would say, I'm not going to those stiff necks, we're going here, you know. They just don't know what to do. And she'd go in and she'd be doing the jig all the way down the aisle. I mean, this is what my mother did. I mean, it was crazy. So when I walked into prison, I didn't see color. I was brought up just to love people. I was the only guy in prison kissing guys and got away with it. It may sound funny, but as I would go, God would come by the food line. I was working in the kitchen. I would hand the guy the tray. I would see the kid depressed and sad. And I said, are you all right, buddy? He goes, yeah. I said, oh, come here, give me help. You know, it was my natural instinct, the love.
That's right.
Even when Christ was still with me, but even when I wasn't exemplifying when Christ was in my life, somehow or another, that gift that God gave me in the incubator when I was born.
Exactly.
It's a gift. It's something you can learn.
It is a gift.
It's a gift. I don't know why you chose the gift to me because I got to kiss all of these guys every day. So my wife is happy because when I come home, I kiss her extra much because I got guys all day. I told you we were going to have fun this morning, right? So let's keep focused. Okay, let's go. We got 20 more minutes. I'm almost done. So Jairus comes out. First thing Jairus does, miracle number two. He runs over and he falls at the feet of Jesus. If you look it up, go home and look it up. Second miracle. But the thing about Jairus is his miracle doesn't take place right away. He continues to walk on the journey. He continues to walk with Jesus on the way to his house. And absolutely on the way to his house, we know the situation. The crowd is following him. The multitudes are around him. And we know the woman with the issue of blood. Jairus is saying, my kid don't have much time. But never once did he say, come on, God, can we get to Jesus? Can we go already, man? My daughter, remember Lazarus?
Yeah.
Oh, you're too late. You can't do it. That was the first thing he said.
Yeah.
Jairus instills patience. Why? Because he believed, he heard, and he knew that the God he served was cool enough to take out the demon, stop the wind, and he'd be cool enough to to take the time to heal his daughter. He begins to recognize, we got some time. Jesus is on his journey with me. I know whatever death might seem, it can't be. Because Jesus is on a journey with me. Jairus knew that Jesus was on a journey with him to his house. People in the church today, I don't know what journey you're on. I'm telling you, without a shadow of a doubt, that the Christ that lives within me, and I know it's the same Christ that lives within you, he's not a different guy, he's the same guy. If you allow him to live in this journey, walk on his journey of your life, even what may seem like death, I'm telling you, if you continue to follow his feet, you get to fear and recognize who he really is and the power he has, and believe by faith that everything he said in this word, in this Bible, this is where your faith comes from, people. The Word of God.
Yeah.
The Word of God. Without that word, there is no faith. It's just a story. But if this book doesn't resonate in your heart, then you won't see the miracles. Then you won't see the healings. Then prayers won't be answered. It's when every day that we fall at the feet of Jesus and we say, Lord, I see what you did for Jairus. I see what you did to Job. I see how you redeemed David. I seen what you did to Saul, a murderer, how you made him the most powerful man in the Bible. I seen what you did to Gary the Rosa, that junkie, lowlife, loser. That's who I was quoted as. That kid will never change. He's a junkie, lowlife, loser, and some other words. That's how I've walked my life. And Jesus looked down and said, oh no, when you see dead, I see alive.
Come on.
Because I know he's heading to the place that I called him. And when he gets there, I'm going to raise him from the dead, just like I did with Jairus. And God wants to do this for the church today. I'm ministering next week with Pastor Casey, next week with Pastor Dean and John. This word is going wherever I go. Because I believe the church needs to recognize that the Christ that's in you has so much power. And you have, Bible says this, Luke 10:19, look it up. He has given you, sister, you, brother, not the pastor, you, the sheep. He has given everybody in this room the power and authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome the power of the enemy that nothing will harm you. That's my God. That's your God. It's not about the leather jacket. It's about believing the word of what it says. Do you believe 10:19? Then people will be healed. Do you believe in what I'm speaking about tomorrow? Then people will be delivered. This is what God's word. This is how cool Christ is. Because you know what? He's not complicated. We complicate God's word. We make it all of this hard stuff to do. Listen, I live life. I live like my mother. I am funny. Wow. I love having fun. I really, really do. I love having fun. The guys will tell you, and we laugh, we joke around. You know, when they're down, I'm down. Now when they're down, I go, oh, I know. Listen, you got to raise yourself. I'm down with them. I'm like, yeah, I know, man. I've been there. When they're up, I'm up. I'm not one of these ministers that minister to them and tries to get them to this place when they're here. No, I'm going to minister right where you're at. Because I've been where you're at. You know, the greatest thing about my life, I was in jail. I was homeless. I was an addict. I was struggling in my marriage. And through all those trials, when you get James, Carol Jordan, the very trials of tribulation, know the testing of your faith produces perseverance, yes. Then you can be complete and lacking nothing. Right. All my life, growing up in a church, and all these things, being in prison, I remember getting a phone call from my mom. I think God's got a calling on you. I said, I'm in prison. If the calling's here, I don't want it. You know, number one. Number two, I don't see anything good coming out of this. But somehow or another, she seemed to walk to Jairus' house. Yes. Wow. And when I got out of jail, I recognized that God had so much more for me than the devil had against me.
Come on.
And listen, today, I minister to the homeless because I've been there. I minister to the addict because I've been there. I minister to the person who's been in prison because I've been there. Every one of my trials makes me complete and lacking nothing in somebody else's life. Incredible. I embrace every trial. I'm telling you people this morning, embrace every trial. Embrace every tribulation. Because faith is acknowledging knowing that God is in full control of every circumstance, good or bad. And God sees the house of Jairus, and God will raise it from the dead as long as you allow yourself to fall at the feet of Jesus, recognize who he is, know that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, and everything in your life that looks so messed up right now, God will come and he will give you the newness of what he has. If you want to be new today in Christ, then you need to help me take this word and let it go into the depth of your heart. That's all Jesus wants this morning. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Okay, this is it. In closing, one more paper. What? 10 more minutes. This is good. I never do this. I'm always 3 hours, you know. Miracle number 3. And I'm only going to do, I remember your daughter said it at your father's funeral, which was a beautiful funeral. She said, my father has 3 to 4 closings. So do I, sister. So we're not at it. So thank you, Pastor Bob, that I'm going to come under you and I'm going to be humble enough to say, I'm with you, my brother. Okay? Miracle number 3. One with the issue of blood. Bible says in Mark 28 through 33, chapter 5, that she falls once again. We see it again. It's a continual thing. If you see this in the scripture, you really get to see what God is saying there. Again, she falls at his feet of Jesus, which produces her faith, what produces fearing and knowing that if God, she can touch God, that God will deliver and set her free. Miracle number 3. Let's get back to Jairus. This is it right here. Mark 35-42. 12-year-old little girl. Jairus is on a journey. He establishes his faith, recognizing, seeing the miracles of what God has done. But the biggest thing about this scripture and about the ending of this is that when Jesus got to Jairus' house, he threw everybody out. You get out, because the wife was doubting, this one was doubting. He says, you out. Wait, let me put this back. This is good. I like using the tough part of Christ, because he's tough, too. He's cool, but he's tough. Yeah. Right? He comes in the door. Yo, you out? You out? You're a little Italian in that. Yo, you out? Yo, Gotti, get him over here. Yo, Gotti, get this guy out. Yo, poor posse. You don't want a posse. Yeah, you're good now. You're James, you're Peter, you're John. You're good. You guys got it all together. Everybody out. He brings everybody in that's seen the miracles. They're seen the things that established in their lives because he knew that he needed faith and he needed people to fall at the feet.
Come on.
Of Jesus.
Right,
you know, when you fall at the feet of Jesus, let me show you what that means. I made my son get up one time. I'm not going to make him do it today because he might not have washed his feet yesterday. No, I can't. But when you fall at the feet of Jesus, what does that do? If you fall at the feet of anybody, it causes them not to move. They can't move. They're mobile. They can't move. There's no way they can go. You wrap your arms around anybody's feet, they're stuck in that place. The only thing Jesus wants for us is to be stuck in his feet. And he doesn't want to walk out and step over us. No, he wants to indulge. And what my sister, my daughter, my son is asking of. Why? Because we recognize the feet of Jesus. We recognize what happened when the nails went through his feet and what it represents. We recognize the things of Christ and what he's done on the cross that he can do in us. So he walks into Jairus' house. And this whole time, Jairus not once, if you read the scriptures, not once says, listen, Lord, man, can we get there, man? She's not doing good. When he gets there, they say she's dead. He doesn't say, see, I told you. He doesn't turn into Ralph and Potsy and these guys. He stands in what he believed. He's seen the woman with the issue of blood. He heard about the demons being released, 2,000 of them. Jesus just said, hey, and he ran. He recognizes the power and authority of Christ. Death cannot take you. Nothing can harm you when you have the power of Jesus Christ. You know, I walk around sometimes, I go to different churches, and people come up into the service, and as an evangelist, my prayer is that I lay on hands on people, and people walk out. I remember being in the 70s, it was incredible. There was a move.
There was
a genuine move. People were being healed, delivered, said, hey, listen, I walk into a church, and it wasn't like now you see show things. You guys had crutches. Listen, it wasn't like the be. Listen, I was in a service where I seen a lady's foot crack. Pop.
Yeah.
I was 9 years old. I'll never forget. I was like, oh, my God. He broke her foot. Probably when I was saying 9 years old. He had folded it, and that security cracked, snap, and it went straight, and she walked. It was incredible. Incredible power of God. Incredible power of God. And Jesus casting 2,000 demons to a man who could tear chains. Incredible power of God to stop a storm that was tipping a boat. Incredible power of God to raise a little beautiful little young girl, 12 years old, from the dead. There's nothing different today than 2,000 years ago. Other than this, and I'm going to end with this. Is that we're not fearing God. That we're not falling at the feet of Jesus. And we're not believing by faith that this book is real. Reading it is one thing, walking in it another. You know, still today when I go to churches, and I lay hands on people, and they walk out the same as they came in, and nobody's beating the other way. But I'm doing everything I preached on. You know, maybe I should go get the leather jacket out of the car. You know, maybe it works with the, maybe the leather is powerful. You know, maybe I need the leather, you know. I'm sweating with this thing on. But I use the leather and the sunglasses as a visual. And Pastor Bob, I was blessed when you did at the funeral. When you pull up those two shoes, and you say, can you fill these? I want to ask the church the same thing. We know we never can fill the shoes of Christ. But we know the Bible says, be ye holy, for I am holy. So what does he ask us to do? He asks us daily to strive toward the mark of being the place and the position that God wants to take you to. And every day of my life, my one goal and my true goal and in my heart is, Lord, how can I be more like you? You know, every day when I pick my feet and I put them on the side of the bed, I got 5 minutes, I put my seat off the side of the bed, the first thing I do is I recognize the devil wants to kill me. The first thing I do, I recognize the demons out to get me today. Why? Because we know we're working, and we're working for Christ. So the first thing I do, I hit my feet, and I turn. Boom. I'm at the feet. Me and you today, Lord, need your power, need your strength. Help me not to do this on my own, because I'll get beat up. I can't do this on my own strength. And let me tell you, there's a lot of days I walk out the door and I fail, even falling at the feet, even releasing things. You know, how far, my wife will tell you, don't. She'll tell you, I am far, far. From being perfect. The guys in the program will tell you. But there's one thing that I know that I am, and that's a child of God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he never leaves us nor forsakes us. And his one goal in this word is to let us know this morning that everything he can do through you. Because he's given us the Holy Spirit. And he's given us Luke 10:19, the power and authority to trample on snakes and scorpions. So when you leave here today, and things begin to come your way, look at it and say, Jesus is in this, because faith is knowledge and knowing that God is in control. And you're going to walk through it and say, I know faith is knowledge and knowing that God is in full control of every circumstance, good or bad. This thing is bad? No, it's not. There's good on the other side. Can't be. Well, let's just take the Bible. Let's throw it in the pail.
Yeah.
Let's take the book, get the garbage, let's throw it away. I can't. Yeah, I said that. I got sick.
Yeah.
You know, so much I love God's word, but truth—that's the truth.
Yeah.
Then this book is a book of lies. I know it's not a book of lies because I see what it did in my family. I see what it did in me. I see what it's doing for the church. I see what God does every day through people's lives. 29 guys coming to program. 22 homeless people up the streets, had nowhere to go, starving, dying. 22 of them are working jobs, back with family members, living a successful life. 22 people. The people said that there's no way they're going to do anything. God said something different. I see miracles every single day. My job is the best job in the world. I can't be a pastor. That would be too much on me. An evangelist I can be. You know why? I give you go 1-2 and I walk up. See you later, guys. You know? But I see miracles every day in my life. God's given me as a profession to help people, to love them. High Grounds Ministries, we don't tell them to go to church. We don't preach the gospel to them. We don't do anything. They smoke 4 times a day outside. They don't do any Bible courses during the day. It's not a teen challenge. It's not a training point. God said, I want you to open up this ministry. When you open this up, this ministry, you just love them. My love will cover everything. 7 of those 22 people are working in ministry somewhere today.
Wow.
And I never even told them. I tell them about Jesus. Of course, when they come to counseling, I tell them, listen, buddy, you need God, man. I love you. I'm a pastor. I'm going to tell you what you need in the one-on-one counseling. But I don't preach it. I don't make it mandatory. You don't have to get up on your knees 15 minutes in prayer, 15 minutes in your word. You don't have to go to class. You don't have, none of that. None of that. But all I do is love them. You know what? The stinkier and dirtier they are, the more I love them. When I put the men's home together, we began to put parquet floors down, pergo floors, stained all the wood frames, beautiful. Took this outside building, just like Christ, just like us. This outside building looks like it's ready to fall down. And when you open up the door and go in, it's like, oh my God, you would want to live there. I remember the first response to the first homeless guy a year ago. He walked into the place, I showed him around, I said, then he goes, I'm living here? I said, yeah. He goes, no, this is where you live, right? I said, no, you're living, this is your place. He started to weep. Because God, when I started putting the house together, God said to me, I want to know you to make it like you here. I want you to give them the best. You know, we got donated a $15,000 check to start the ministry. And people say, God, when you put checks in the mail, I beg to differ. I moved a gentleman out of his house. He was moving, put his stuff in storage. 3 months later, he sold his home, writes out a $15,000 check, send it to me. I opened up, I see the check, I'm ready to rip it up. I thought it was an old mafia guy. He used to be part of the program. His name was Kenny. He's in the program. Don't worry, Pastor, when I get out of here, I'm going to take care of you. Do my boy, I got you. So I opened up the check. I see the check, it says Kenny. I go to my wife, this is Kenny, right? You know, my son's done it. I said, Skinny, I'm ready to rip it. I said, $1,500. This guy ain't got nothing. This guy's broke. You know, so I'm laughing, right? So I turn around, I'm about to rip the check, and I'm telling you again, I look, I took this, because they had a sticker on it, one of those stickers that you put on, what do you call them, post-it stickers? So I landed on the thing, it was covering one of the numbers. So I took it off, and I said, $15,000. I said, this guy really isn't nothing, right? You know what I mean? And all of a sudden, I'm telling you, a second from tearing it. And I look to the left, I'm going to cry. And I see Ken Knight. I'm like, oh my God. And on that sticker I read, it says, this is to help you start your ministry. He said, when he went to closing on his home, he said, Lord, thank you. This house has been a burden to me. I couldn't keep it anymore. He goes, he heard God specifically tell him, I didn't sell it for you. I sold it so you could pour into that man's ministry.
Wow.
That's a God thing.
God.
Bible says you know us by our fruits. I said, Lord, I don't know how good I am. My heart is deceitful among all things. I know sometimes I can perform better. I know sometimes I can do better. Where am I? And he said, look at your fruit. When I begin to see lives change around me, I begin to see people become who they are in Christ. When I see churches like this thrive to do more in God. That's where it all comes from. That's the fruit. So Pastor Bob, that's a word for you this morning.
Thank you.
I want to tell you that. God wants you to look around. What might seem fruitless is fruitful. There's fruit in this building. Major fruit. Until we fall at the feet of Jesus. Until we fear who he really is. Until we exemplify how true this word is and believe by faith. And then, and only then, will this church, or any church, or anybody, move in the power and authority that God has given you in 10:19. God bless you. Thank you for having me this morning.